Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this unique group of men, Lord, that were part of this incredible night. Lord, I pray as we look at the shepherds tonight, Lord, that we can pull from the scriptures some Bible principles that will help us. Lord, they were blessed to have that night, a heavenly encounter. And Lord, thank you that those heavenly encounters are still available for us today. And so, Lord, may we learn from them what to do with these type of encounters, Lord, what they did. And Lord, may we be encouraged from that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Okay, I've enjoyed so much our two special guests, Brother Kinsey, who came in 2 weeks ago, and then Brother Smith last Sunday. I think it was Brother Buster that said, when he spoke about these men, he talked about them being common men. And I kept thinking about that when I was preparing the message, and I wondered at these men. I want to meet them on these days. Hey, folks, all of these people are real. Do you understand this? Sometimes, and I'm not going to stop using the phrase, but I did hear a man say recently, he said, sometimes we say the story of Christ's birth, or the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, or the story of, but he said, sometimes we treat them like they're just stories, and they didn't really happen. This is history, folks. This is history. And I began to read this and ponder, meditate on it. And I asked myself two questions, and this is what I want to answer tonight. Number one, why did the shepherds experience this heavenly encounter? And then here was the second question I pondered and meditated upon. What did the shepherds do with this heavenly encounter? And I want you to think back in your Christian life. I seriously doubt if angels have appeared to you in the night and made some type of announcement, anything similar to this. But I will say this, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, you've had a heavenly encounter with God. And you know what? Those heavenly encounters don't just stop when somebody gets saved. Aren't you glad that God is available to us and God is with us? And folks, listen, we can walk with Him every day. But when I'm talking about this type of encounter, I'm talking about those handful of times where it just seems like after you're saved, God comes down and meets with you in an unusual way, maybe talks to you in a very specific way, a supernatural way. And I think we ought to treat preciously heavenly encounters. And these men, why did the shepherds, preacher, why did the shepherds experience this heavenly encounter? And then what did the shepherds do with this heavenly encounter? Let's answer the why question first. Number one, the shepherds were available. The shepherds were available. Have you ever had such good news that you wanted to tell somebody and yet you didn't know anybody to tell? Everybody you know knew or you couldn't get to. And you know what? You looked around and you know who you wanted. You know who maybe you ended up telling? Just whoever was available. The lady at Walmart trying to check you out. You know, the guy, poor guy that's pumping gas next to you. You're not going to believe what happened. I'm going to announce this. Tabitha told us here about a week or so ago that she's expecting another baby. And I was so excited afterwards. I'm just going to town, just stopping random people that don't even know me and say, hey, let me tell you something. They're, excuse me? Yeah, I've got a daughter in California. She's going to have a baby. And they're looking at me like I'm out of my mind. But you know what? I wanted to tell somebody. And folks, let me just say this. It's amazing what you'll hear from the Lord if you're just available. If you just make yourself available. I think the greatest, I heard this in college, wrote it down, and I believe it. The greatest ability is availability. The greatest ability. Preacher, I don't have many abilities. Are you available? Do you have availability? Because you know what I find out? If you just keep showing up, you just keep showing up, you just keep showing up, and you're there, you know what? Sooner or later, you know what people are going to do? They're going to grab whoever's there and say, hey, could you help with this? You know, let me give you some good advice. Be ready, be willing, be available, and opportunities will find you. I want to say that again. Be ready, be willing, be available, and opportunities will find you. I talked to a man who went to Bible college the same time I went to Bible college, and one of the things he talked about and began to almost say with a critical spirit was, he said, well, you know, when we were in Bible college studying to be preachers, we didn't have many opportunities to preach. And I just turned around and looked at him, and I said, I did. And he said, well, where did you get those opportunities? And I said, I didn't have to fight. Listen, I didn't have to find them. They found me. I said, let me ask you this. If somebody would have knocked on your door and woke you up from your afternoon nap or whatever you're doing, or stopped you in the hallway and said, hey, in a half hour, we need somebody to come over here to the rescue mission and preach. Would you have done it? Would you have been ready? And he said, well, I don't know if I'd have been able to do it in that amount of time. And I said, I did. You know what? Watch this. If you get the reputation of being ready, come on, think about this. Be ready, be willing, and be available. You know, I can't find somebody to do this. Well, go find Jerry Ross. I promise you. He'll get it done. He'll be ready. He'll be available. And you know what I found out? There was a lot of preaching opportunities that found me. And so, folks, let me just say this. The shepherds were available. They were just there. And there's a wonderful verse. And I heard a man preach a message years ago on this, and I just love this thought. And it's a something that was said about the servant of Abraham who was going to find a bride for Isaac, Abraham's son. And he said this. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And then he said this, I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother. And he preached a message about just being in the way, being in the way. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, well, preacher, I haven't won one person to Christ this year. Well, have you gone? Have you gone soul winning every week? Have you been faithful in going out seeking? Do you just get in the way? Just get yourself out there in the way? And again, when you're out there in the way, it's amazing what the Lord will allow you to do and what he'll allow you to accomplish. Number one, the shepherds were available. Number two, the shepherds were awake. The Bible says this, they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. There they are, available. And they were abiding in the field. They weren't sleeping in the field, they were abiding in the field. Now again, here's some angels looking for somebody to announce this to, and the whole world was, for the most part, asleep. I couldn't help but think about this. If that was true when Jesus came the first time, I think it's very well could be true when Jesus comes the second time. You know, there's three great, what I call awake verses in the New Testament, Romans 13:11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and the Lord and Christ shall give thee light. You know, as born again Christians, we're not careful. There's a danger of us just falling asleep. I think a lot of the things that have happened in the last 2 years, I had a discussion when I was out knocking doors this afternoon with the ladies of Christian, and she said, she was curious, doesn't go to our church, really doesn't go to our type of church, but at the same time had a clear-cut testimony of salvation, involved in mission work through her local church, and excited about the things of the Lord. It was a delight to talk to her. And she said, our church don't do this. What do you find as you're talking to people? And I said, I think that this has woke up a lot of people to the idea that something's happening, something supernatural is happening, something from God is happening. And she said something. She said, you know, that sounds exciting. I'm glad to hear that. But she said, if it's woke up the lost world, preacher, do you think it's woke up the Christians? And I said to her, I don't know. I think I'll go tonight and I'll stand behind the pulpit and ask our folks that. It's starting to wake up the lost world, but what's it going to take to wake up the Christians? You know, the shepherds were awake. Why did they have this opportunity? Why them, preacher? They were available. Why? They were awake. They were awake. You know, I think the angels just flew around until they found these third shift workers. They just found these guys that were awake when everybody else was asleep. They were awake. And again, folks, listen to me. If you want to have heavenly encounters, make yourself available. If you want to have a heavenly encounter, it's time to wake to righteousness, Christians. Come on, it's time to get back in the game. Think about living and then getting saved, being born into this world and getting saved, and then having an entire lengthy time of being a Christian, and then to go to your grave and not have to one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's time we woke up. Well, preacher, I don't know why I haven't had that opportunity. If you've attended this church, the opportunities have been there for 48 and a half years. Okay, you're not going to stand before God and say, well, you know, if we'd have had some kind of program or an opportunity or if we'd have had some training. I mean, I've stood behind this pulpit since I've been the pastor, and I know at least six times I've taken six Wednesday nights and meticulously took our Sunday night or our Wednesday night crowd through soul winning training. And people just act like, you know what, I just lived my life and I've just done this and I've just been here. And you say, well, preacher, you don't understand though. I have a level of fear and I can't get over that fear. You want to talk about fear? Isn't it interesting that, you know what, all of a sudden that's taken away from us, that entire excuse? What are you talking about? I'm talking about being available. I'm talking about waking up. Waking up. You know what? They were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, they were afraid too. They were afraid also. But you know what they did? They said, you know what? This is just too good. We'll talk about this in a minute. This is just too good to keep quiet. We're going to have to spread this. But the shepherds were available, the shepherds were awake, and the shepherds were faithful, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know what? They were doing the small things well. And because they did something maybe that seemed small or insignificant, but they were there, and they were faithful, and they were doing the job that had been assigned them. God gave them a greater opportunity, and I read this in Luke 19. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. You know what he said to that? He said, you've been faithful in that which is little. I will make you ruler over 10 cities. And listen, I hope you young people are getting this. You know what? Just be available. Don't fall asleep. Be awake. And you know what? Just be faithful in the small things, the small opportunities that God does give you to do, then be faithful in those things and see if God doesn't open up larger opportunities. So why the shepherds, preacher? Why the shepherds? Why the shepherds, someone might ask later on. Why them and not me? Well, were you available? Were you awake? Were you faithfully doing the small things? because it seems like those heavenly encounters, those supernatural opportunities always come to people that have those character qualities. Now, preacher, let's answer the second question. What did the shepherds do with this heavenly encounter? Look at verse number 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. I want to say this. They didn't waste the heavenly opportunity. They didn't waste it. Now think about what's happened here, folks. This is amazing. This is miraculous. The angel of the Lord came. God sent the angel of the Lord. And you know what? He sent him in spectacular fashion. He lit up the night sky. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And by the time this single angel got done making his announcements, all of a sudden he was joined with a heavenly host. Verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. I shut my office, closed my eyes, and just tried to kick in my imagination to full gear and put myself on that hillside with a handful of sheep and thought to myself, it'd been one thing to see one angel. And then as soon as he makes this announcement, all of a sudden, can you imagine the skies just filled with this heavenly host? What are they doing? They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Okay, shepherds, you got to see that. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Hey, you had a heavenly encounter and received Jesus Christ as your Savior. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Hey, young people, you went to camp. Or some of you that are older now, when you were young, you went to camp or a conference. And if I ask you to, some of you would say, preacher, there was in my youth some heavenly encounters. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Come on, folks, listen. Take this as from the Lord. This is the preacher showing up, trying to put you on a guilt trip. This is us trying to break through some things and get some real things ready and some things done and some things in line, because if God tarries, we got a brand new year. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And you know what? You say, that, preacher, yeah, there were some heavenly encounters. Have you wasted it? Have you wasted those heavenly encounters? Think about that. Don't waste a heavenly encounter with the Spirit of God when it comes to salvation. Don't waste a heavenly encounter with the Spirit of God when it comes to sacred decisions. Sacred decisions. Folks, I heard a guy say the other day, he said, never mess with your former youth pastor. Never mess with your former youth pastor, because he knows where all the bodies are buried. And you know what? There's men and young ladies that now are adults that are in this room that, you know, for 11 years I was a youth pastor. And you know what? I've knelt beside you at camps and conferences. I've listened to you pray. My wife's knelt beside you and heard you make decisions. And you know what? Many of you now are living out those decisions. But you know what? I could just about write a book and list the names and the decisions that I heard with my own ear, either as they knelt to pray or afterward as they stood up and publicly testified. You think of that. Well, Brother Jack, how many over the years, you think about how many had those heavenly encounters, just as much of a heavenly encounter as I had or the others that are standing in this sitting in this room today that are living that out and serving the Lord and being faithful and doing what God stirred in their heart to do. I've knelt at an altar at a camp. I could call names if I was mean enough, and I'm not going to do it. But I've knelt at the altar and listened to young men tell God they'd go to the mission field. And I can think of one of those young men right now, and I love him dearly. And he's not even in church. Folks, listen to me. To have a heavenly encounter is a sacred thing.
It's a sacred thing.
We had a couple going to Central Baptist Church when I was pastoring in Brazil, and a couple that had come and moved to Brazil, and then they found our church. And I had men's Thursday night soul winning, the first men's Thursday night soul winning. The husband and the wife showed up to men's soul winning. And I looked over at her and I said, I'm glad you came. And she said, Pastor, I can't not come. Listen to what I'm going to say. I can't not come to this. I probably should have called ahead. I said, no, I'm glad you're here. I'll send you with your husband tonight. She said, when I was young in the faith, I made a decision, a vow to the Lord, that whatever church I went to, I'd be a part of soul winning. And I can't not do it. So the next Thursday night, the next bulletin we printed, it just said Thursday night visitation. I surrender. What are you going to say to that? Go home? You can't come? Amen. You know what impressed me about that story? And by the way, this lady wasn't in her 30s and wasn't in her 40s. She was almost 60 years of age, and she said, I made a decision. Watch this, folks. Was it real or not? Did God show up or not? Did God tell you to do it or not? Then what are you doing? What are you doing with it? Can you imagine if we read this story and the angels came and they said, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, if they said, you shall find the babe, that kind of, there's an expectation there. And then they would have all dissipated and disappeared, and they begin to talk one to another. And one of them said, hey, if we go, come on, it's the middle of the night. Why don't we wait till morning? Well, if we go around in the morning and tell them what we heard and saw, they're going to put us away. They're going to put us in a jacket with extra long sleeves tied in the back. Maybe we ought to just listen, folks. You say that's craziness. I'm telling you, I've watched God come and have heavenly encounters with people, and 2 weeks later, they've talked themselves out of it. They backed away from it, backed up from it. A year or so later, want to pretend it didn't even happen. You know what I got to say about these shepherds? They didn't waste it. Don't waste a heavenly encounter when it comes to salvation, to sacred decisions, and to the calling of God upon your life. And folks, one of the things that I grieve over, and I talked to Brother James about it just the other day, he has said it to me, is that if we could just get the young men that at one point in time in their life walked an aisle and surrendered to preach the gospel, that are right now, I'm talking about across the world, across our nation, if we could just get those men back in church, right with God, or if they are in church doing what they said they would do, we wouldn't have all these empty pulpits and all these frustrated older preachers. And we could be planting churches as fast as we could raise the money. You know, people for a while there were coming to me here and saying, excited over what Brother Reiser was doing. And then the questions come, preacher, when? You know what I'm going to say. When are we doing the next one? Where are we doing the next one? I'd say the question's not when or where, it's who. It's who. You know, who? I mean, my phone rings all the time. You know, I talked to a man at fellowship yesterday. He says, I'm in desperate need of an associate pastor, assistant pastor. I'm in desperate need. And everybody's searching for names, and everybody's searching for people, and everybody's searching. I mean, how shall they hear without a preacher? But I'm thinking, all of these heavenly encounters I've witnessed, folks, I've preached, I've watched them come, I've had them stand up, I've listened to them testify, I see God's hand in it. And alive, what happened? They did not waste this heavenly encounter. Number two, they did as they were instructed. It came to pass as the angels were gone away, verse 15, from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know what we talked about last week, Joseph, in this matter of just being obedient. Folks, can we just hit that one more time? If we as Christians, and what God tells you to do is going to be different than what God tells me to do from a day-to-day basis as we go through our lives. But if we would just, number one, be tender to listen to the voice of God and then follow His instruction and just obey what God tells us to do, I think we'd have a lot of heavenly encounters. Once God finds out that if He'll come to you and ask you, you won't procrastinate, you won't make excuses, you'll just obey. You know what? He'll come to you a lot more often. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. Ye shall find the babe. Now, I want to talk about that. Ye shall find the babe. You know what he was saying? He was saying, it's over in Bethlehem. He told them, it's in Bethlehem. Ye shall find the babe. Now, I didn't know, so I thought, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Okay, it can't be that hard to find a babe. I mean, a baby. I got to stop saying babe. A baby. I got young men ready to surrender the ministry right now. So, find a baby. A baby. Oh, help us. And so I said, Google knows everything, right? Google? Some of you have got the thing sitting in your house and you holler at it and it answers you. Who is it? Alexa. What do you say when you want, you say like, hey, Alexa? And then Alexa tells you a funny. Alexa, folks, come on, Alexa. Wow. I could go so many places with this, I'm not going anywhere. So I didn't. I typed mine in. I don't talk to strange women. If you want to do that, that's. But I typed it in. You know. Building strong walls, amen. Then. Old little town of Bethlehem was almost half the size of Terre Haute. 25,000 people at the time Jesus Christ was born. And some of them are supposing that it even swelled larger because of the census that had been taken. Now, folks, I'm sure not everybody had a stable. Not everybody in Linton has a garage. But a stable would be as common as a garage. Doesn't mean everybody had it, but go through Linton, a lot of people do. And interesting that God said, here's the information. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Here's your hint. Here's your clue. This is all you're getting. There, in a town, Terre Haute, 60,000 people. Okay, so 25,000 isn't half, but that gives you an idea. You know, it'd be about twice the size of Washington, if you're a little more familiar with Washington, twice the size of Bedford. All right, we're talking about some lookings going on here. And it would have been easy for them. Well, I wanted to get this. See, you know what the will of God is? God gives you a direction. You know, God just kind of says, okay, over in that large city in a stable somewhere, there's a manger and there's a baby, and find the one wrapped in swaddling clothes. As if there were how many babies in stables. I don't know. Find the one wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But you really, now, you know what they, could you imagine sitting there and them talking and discussing and they're looking over the lights of a city that's almost half the size of Terre Haute? And again, can you understand, folks, the doubts and the discussions and the, you know, this wasn't something easy God gave them to do. Okay, this isn't the wise man. There wasn't a star involved. Sometimes, come on. Doesn't God lead us in different ways? I've had those times where God led with the star and put the star right over the spot, and it was just so easy to find what God wanted me to do. And there are times God deals with all of us in that manner. But most of the time, He says, go that way. And here's a couple clues. Because you know what? That which is without faith is sin. And He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. Now, don't you believe, folks, you say, preacher, do you think it took them hours and hours and hours? Don't you think once they headed towards what God wanted them to do, that there was not some directing of God in their minds and hearts, even if they didn't know it was happening? And I'm just here to encourage you. Listen, folks, what did they do with this heavenly encounter? They did not waste it, and they did as they were instructed, even though the instructions were pretty vague. Now, young people, let me tell you how this thing works, okay? Come to an altar, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Please tell me what that is. Please tell me what that is. And what we want is we want God to lay out, you know, the entire plan for our life from where we're at until we go to heaven. And that is not how God directs people. You know why? Because it's a faith walk. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... So enough to see your feet so you don't trip over something. And next, enough to see where you can take the next couple steps. And that's all it is. And that's the faith walk. And that's a great way to live. Because you know what? Watch this. It takes the control away from you. It takes the control away from me. You know, preacher, I'm not sure what God wants me to do. Been thinking about this 3 years from now, 5 years from now. What's He want you to do today? What's He want you to do tomorrow? Again, it goes back to if we aren't doing what He's asking us to do now, why do we think that somehow God's going to unfold this grand plan? Okay, they did as they were instructed. So think of the effort they had to exert, okay? But you know what? They just said, if God showed up and showed us this and told us then this, if we'll just step out and head that direction, you know what? God's going to show us the way. So they didn't waste the heavenly encounter. They did as they were instructed. Number three, they did not keep it a secret. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And all they that heard it, I don't know how many people heard it, 25,000 people in Bethlehem. I'm sure they didn't talk to every one of them, but they talked to enough of them that the Bible says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which are told by the shepherds. Listen, to have a supernatural encounter with God and not to share it is, to me, unthinkable. Unthinkable. If God does something supernatural in your life, you ought to stand up and talk about it. If you've had a heavenly encounter, young people, don't come home and hide it and you know, take the decision card and put it in the bottom of your drawer somewhere. No, tape it on the mirror so you can look at it every day. I think we need to get back. Watch this. Let me say this story. We need to get back. As you go to camps and conferences and make key decisions, it's okay that you made them there, but your church family's not there. I think one of the best ways to follow up a decision that you make away from here is to come back here and walk up here and tell the people what you decided. Because you know what that does? That puts a level of accountability and encouragement in your life as people around you are reminding you of that, encouraging you and saying, I'm praying for you about that. They didn't keep it a secret. What a story to tell. They had a story to tell. You know what? They couldn't contain it. They couldn't contain it. You know what? Why don't you just decide to get involved? I promise you we're going to have again visitation program, visitation opportunities. And let me say this, the whole premise behind Operation Occupation is for some of us that can to take some that maybe aren't as skilled at it or as confident at it. And the whole idea is for every year for more and more of the section to be taken, not fewer and fewer. Brother Doug Castle was telling me about a visitation program he started in his church. And by the way, I'm not saying bad things about his church. I'm not saying bad things about him, although I have in the past. All right. In jest. But he was talking about this thing that did several years ago, and he said, you know what, we started this big summer push, and he said, I built it up, and he said, you know what, people got excited, and he said, first Saturday, there was 40 people there, and 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, there's 30 people there, and then he said, by the end of the summer, it's us and me and 10 others, and we're finishing up. And I said, Brother Castle, that's everywhere. Watch this. That's pretty typical. You know what I decided a long time ago? When the smoke clears, I'll be one of those 10. Hey, watch this. I talk about heavenly encounters. Ron Comfort preaching, Tennessee Temple University. Okay, 1975, breaks the heart of Jerry Ross. not to surrender to preach, but to come forward after a sermon on the crucifixion of Christ. I bowed my knee at an altar and I said, God, I don't know how to do this and I don't think I can do this, but if you'll help me, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to get people to heaven and I will talk about what you did on that cross. I will tell people about it. And you know what? The next Thursday night after I got back, I walked into men's visitation as a teenager when teenagers didn't come. And you know what I did this afternoon? And you know what I did last week? Are you listening to this? I'm not going to waste heavenly encounters. Some of you need to go back and find that altar that's been broken down and build that altar once again. Come on, 1995, we started weekly teen soul winning. Okay, now Jack and Penny Gordon, they took me out visiting, passing out tracts. I don't want to act like nobody's help teens know how to soul win until I came here. I don't want to come across that, but I'm talking about a weekly teenage program for soul winning in 1995. Brother Jeff, do you know, come on, you were there. How many since 1995, including the young people that went out today, from 7th grade to 12th grade, almost every Wednesday of their life, showed up with a New Testament. We trained them. We took them. We taught them. And from 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, they were here. And some of them couldn't find a soul winning New Testament if I offered them a $100 bill. Folks, listen to me. What am I talking about? I'm talking about don't waste heavenly encounters. You know, I went this afternoon. I'm trying to help Brother Ron out a little bit. Brother Ron, by the way, this isn't just true, Brother Ron. It's the Dively's, Brother and Mrs. Dively, several of our older folks. When this weather gets cold and windy, and you know the folks in our church, pray for them that are dealing with some type of breathing problems. And it's not just our older folks. Some of our, you know what, this time of year is tough. And so I've been sneaking over into his section. And I told Cheryl at the beginning of the week, she said, what's going on this week? We always go over the week. And then every evening before we go to bed, we talk about the next day and next couple of days. And, you know, live on purpose. Don't just keep saying you're going to do something. Do it. And I told her, I said, you know what, I need to get out. I want to get over to Brother Ron's section. And so you know what I did? I went back and I got the door hangers and I got a box of paper clips. And I took the, because I want to get more of the Christmas tracts out. Did I mention we're giving Christmas tracts out? Glory. I thought maybe I forgot to announce it. I know some of them's been taken. We've got maybe half of them gone, so that's good. So I take the door hanger and I fold the Christmas tract over it. And it looks so attractive. Joy to the world. Put a paper clip on it and I hang it in the doors. And I just had this idea when I took off. It was about 11:30 or 11 when I started. And I said, Lord, I got some time. Let me see how this goes. You never know how long you're going to talk to people. But I kind of had it in my head. Wouldn't it be neat if I could just go until the box of paper clips were gone? Because I know how many paper clips are in the box. Hey, what do? You find anything that you need to do to motivate you to do it. And every time I'd reach in that paper clip or box and put another one on there, I'd look and see how it was doing. You know, how many we got left? I'd look at the clock. I can go a while longer. I was going to stop at 3. I can go a little bit. I can squeeze a little bit more time in there. Take that last one, clip it on there, hand it off. I'll come back to the church house. Folks, do you have anything in your memory that's, I'm not putting Jerry Ross on a pedestal. I'm just saying this should not be abnormal Christianity. This should be, well, I don't have the time. Yeah, okay. You know, come to me with your bucket load of excuses. I promise you I'm as busier than anybody in this room. Okay? And if I wanted to find an excuse every single week not to do it, then I promise you I've got as many or more than you do. But you see, there was a heavenly encounter. And it was real. It wasn't emotion. It was real. God came down into the auditorium of the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and broke a young man's heart. And I just stand and wonder how people can have a heavenly encounter and then just waste it and ignore it and make excuses and go on and forget it and plod on. This whole thing of Christianity, folks, ought to be building and building and building and building, not diminishing, 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 diminishing. And it's not that God's not showing up. It's that people are just walking away from heavenly. Are you listening to me? Heavenly encounters. They did not waste this heavenly encounter. They did it as they were, instructed. They did not keep it a secret. And they did not, the last thing, get over it. They didn't get over it. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them, as it was told unto them. And here's my question: how many have just gotten over it? How many have just gotten over it? Well, there were these shepherds. I don't know how many there were. All the Christmas plays I've ever seen, there's three. I don't know why, but I'm assuming someone has some inside information. I don't know if there was three, if there was 30. I have no idea. All I know is after they went and found Jesus, they couldn't keep quiet about it. Now, this is why I want to talk to those group of men, because, see, Brother Joe, I don't find them mentioned in the Scripture. And by the way, that doesn't mean that they quit on God or they quit telling the story. Sometimes God just brings somebody into the story, and then that part's over, and we don't get to hear, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. And you know what? Jesus was born and went into the ministry 30 years later. If these were older men, if you look at the lifespan during that time, maybe many of them weren't even alive when Jesus launched into ministry. But I couldn't help but think, was there a few younger shepherds? And later on, when they heard Jesus preach, I think any of them maybe found him. I said, I got to tell you a story. I was there that night. I wonder how many of their children heard the story. How many of their grandchildren? Grandpa was getting old, and they would talk to him, and he'd go visit Grandpa, you know. And Grandpa, now kids, when we go over here, you got to understand, Grandpa, he had a dream or a vision or something happened, and listen, just nod and pretend he's telling the truth. No, he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. I'm thinking, okay, and none of this, I'm just thinking, Jerry Ross, but I'm thinking the 70 that were sent, I wonder if any of them were the child of one of those shepherds who came and found Christ and said, my grandpa told me about when you were born. You are the Messiah. Maybe a grandson? I don't know. All I know is this: I don't believe they ever got over it. And I believe when we get to heaven, you know what? I think they're going to say, oh, I spent the rest of my life just talking about it. I got my kids excited about it. I got my kids believing it. I got my grandkids excited about it. I got my grandkids believing it. Not all of them, but some of them carried it on. You know what, folks? Let's take a look at these men. And let's just say, hey, I've had some heavenly encounters. What can I learn from the shepherds? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for not just coming to us at that moment of salvation, but those supernatural visitations that take place in every life. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we show ourselves faithful and available and responsive to those things, Lord, I would pray that you would increase them in each life and help us, Lord, to treat them sacredly and help us to follow through with what you've done in our lives. And thank you, dear God, for an opportunity to live out a life. Lord, many of the things that I do at 60 years of age is because of heavenly encounters in my youth. And Lord, help me never to get over them. Help me never grow quiet about them. Help me to tell my children, my grandchildren. Help me to convince them to listen for the voice of God in their life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we take these truths home the rest of this week and into next year. We pray these things in Jesus' name.